Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai, Parshas Vayigash. So Rabbeinu B'chai begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Aleph. Ma'a nerach yashiv chema. If someone answers softly, they will quell the other person's anger. Udvar etzev ya'le af. And if someone speaks in a way that would upset someone else, they will get angry. So he explains, the Shlomo Melech is telling us how important speech is. And he says, Rabbeinu B'chai says, that davar yadua, that dibur yesh lo koach gadol hin tov hin lahavcho, that power, speech has an incredible power, and it is ikar havayas adam. How do you like that? That's the main essence of a person, the main creation of a person is their speech. As it says, famously, vayhi adam lenefesh chaya, person was to a nefesh chaya, Onkala says, l'ruach mamaloa, a speaking being. So that's the main essence of a human's creation itself is their speech. And with speech, a person can do tons of mitzvos, or the opposite, they could do averos, they could bring people close or keep them far. So everything's in the speech. So therefore, be careful when you speak. He says, remember, if you're ma nerach, if you respond softly, that is yashav chema, that makes people who are angry not angry anymore. And even a king, as it says, chamas malach, malachei mavis, the king's anger is angels of death. So, but even that, speaking softly can rescind anger. And that's, of course, how we get into this parsha, which is that Yehuda should have been angry himself because he was falsely accused of stealing, right? They were being falsely accused of stealing the cup. So Yehuda should have been angry. But meanwhile, Yosef's angry, or at least is acting angry. So Yehuda, instead of responding as one might have with righteous anger, is ma nerach. He responds by telling the story of how we came to you, Yosef, and, you know, trying to be order his kindness and rachamim. And that's, he says, because Yehuda was not just a gibor in his physical strength, he was a gibor in his nefesh. He was kovish as Yitro, and he did not get angry, and rather he spoke in a way of ma nerach, so that it will make Yosef not angry. Okay, and that's how we get started with the parsha. Okay, so So the pasuk says, "Va'yigash elav Yehuda." Yehuda comes to Yosef and he says, "Bi Adoni." So a simple understanding of that means, "Please, my master." Ben B'chai explains it means, "Bi," as in the avera is me, with me. In other words, I know you Binyamin was the one caught with the goblet, but make it be me. I mean, put the blame on me. Take me instead of Binyamin. But al yichara p'chabi avdecha, don't get upset. Meaning, don't get upset. This guy's the thief, and I'm going to say, take me and let the thief go free. You might get upset about that. Don't get upset at that suggestion. I'm doing it because I'm stuck. Because I said I would be an ariv. I said I would. I told my father that I'd be his guarantor. So please don't get angry. That's why I'm asking. Now Rabbeinu B'chai brings this really incredible Medrash, a spacious rabbi, Tzadi Gimel Aleph, a vikuach, a debate between Yehuda and Yosef that went back and forth, obviously not found in the Psukim. It's really, really fascinating. Just to give you a part of it, Yehuda says, this thing that you're telling us we should be slaves, this whole thing is a din sheker being framed, the whole thing's baloney. And Yosef responds back to him. Remember, this is Yosef before he revealed himself. Yosef responds back to them, "Oh, really? I don't think this is a din checker. You know what the real din checker is? The fact that you made a din to sell your brother as a slave. I think that was a din checker." Then Yehuda says back, "I'm feeling the, you know, we destroyed a whole city of Shechem. I'm feeling the kinna I had in my heart in Shechem coming up in me." And Yosef says back, "Oh, really? Because you're such a kanoi for Arias. What happened with Tamar?" Then Yehuda says, "Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to paint the whole Egypt in blood." And Yosef says back, "Oh, you're very good at painting. Yeah, I know. I heard you painted your brother's cloak in blood also to fake out your father." It's like just a dismatch. Then the Medrash says, the brothers decide, all right, we're going to wipe out Mitzrayim. And Yosef says, I better say something now or we're going to have trouble. And then he says, I am Yosef. Wait, there's another medrash he brings later. He doesn't just say, I'm Yosef. He says, you guys are looking for Yosef? I'll call him. Or whatever, your brother that wasn't here, you said he's dead. Excuse me, not that you're looking for. He said, your brother that you said is dead or not around, he's right here. I'm going to call him. Hey, Yosef, come out. And they all look around. There's no Yosef. And he says, oh, yeah, it's me. I'm Yosef. I'm not making this. This is in the medrash. This whole back and forth. He says, I'm Yosef. Okay, and then what happens? Well, he has another medrash that they want to kill him. I mean, there's conflicting medrash about this. We know, right? He hugged and kissed his brothers. But there's a medrash that they wanted to kill him. And some malach came. A malach came and pushed them to the sides of the room. And the whole story there. Just a very interesting medrash all brought in the Rebbeinu B'chai here. But we know the other thing is that he hugged and kissed his brothers. And he also brings a medrash that... that's the way it's going to be, La'asid Lavo, that the Geula will come through Bechia. Now, if you look at all, many of the things Rabbeinu B'chai has written in the Midrashim, this whole story of Yosef is a story that's Ma'ase Avos similar to Banim, about the eventual Geula of Klal Yisrael. We'll see a few this week. We had some last week. But it goes all along that path, that the whole story of Yosef being sold to Egypt and his eventual... And the whole story with the brothers and Sinas Chinam and the eventual redemption. That's all the story about Ma'ase Avos and Labanim. So it says here then, when he cries on his brother's shoulders, he brings a message that La'asid Lavo, the Gula will come through Bechia. It sounds like that kind of Bechia, that everybody feeling bad about any Sinas Chinam and all getting back together. He also brings a medrash that says, a medrash Tanchuma, where it says, V'leyachol Yosef l'sapek, this medrash that says that Yosef put himself in a very dangerous position, when he was alone with the brothers, and he did that so to not be malbin pnei chavir baraba, meaning that's another example of where you're supposed to give up your life to not embarrass someone. So there Yosef put himself alone with the brothers before he told them who he was, and then he said, I'm going to take Binyamin. His life was in danger then, and he put himself in danger to kick everyone out of the house but the brothers. It was just him and the brothers alone. That was all because he was about to tell them, I'm Yosef, and he didn't want them to be embarrassed in front of everybody. Rashi brings, you know, this basic idea, but again, to not that it's worth giving up your life to not be malbim pnei chavir baraban. Okay, so we know the story that, of course, all the brothers, in other words, even Binyamin, went back to Yaakov eventually. But yet, we know Chazal say that Yehuda's bones were not in peace the whole 40 years they were in the midbar, because of. Because Yehuda had said, "V'chatasi l'cha kol hayamim," that I will be. He told Yaakov, "If I don't bring Binyamin back, I will have sinned to you, even on Olam Haba." That's "V'chatasi l'cha kol hayamim." His bones were not at peace in the midbar. So, what did he do wrong? We know Chazal make the drasha on this, that a nidui, an excommunication, even al tanai huba or al tanai needs hafara. So, but there has to be a sin here. What did he do wrong? So Rabbeinu B'chai explains, because it wasn't in his power really to bring back Binyamin. If things had not worked out right, he wouldn't have been brought back Binyamin. So there was a chait for making a nidui that really wasn't in his control, and that's why he got punished, that he had no peace when they were in the midbar. And I just think it's kedai to point out what the Rabbeinu B'chai brings from the Ramban. I guess you would say it from a historical point of view, the Ramban says Yaakov never actually found out. Right, this is the Ramban, it's just brought in Rabbeinu B'chai, but the Yaakov never found out that Yosef sold the brothers. The brothers sold Yosef. They never told him. And he shows it in the Psukim that it's not a question when they said they told Yosef, they told Yaakov everything Yosef said. Not quite everything. They left out that part that they sold him. But he never found out. Okay. Then we have, it says, the 70 people who came down to Mitzrayim. It says, Ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael, I'm quoting this right, whether Shemos B'nei Yisrael, Habayim Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvanov. So you see a bunch of things from this pasuk. Number one, you see that this name Yisrael, it's supposed to be Yaakov, right? I mean, Yaakov's name is Yisrael. And here are the names of the sons of Yisrael, which should mean the sons of Yaakov who came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvanov. Wait, hang on now. Yaakov is not his own son. What does that mean? Rabbeinu B'chai says this tells you that even the Avos were called Yisrael. Here's an example with Yitzchak being called Yisrael, because it says these are the names of B'nai Yisrael that came to Mitzrayim. Yaakov. Ha! So you see that even the Avos were called Yisrael. And he brings another pasuk, Avram is also called Yisrael, in the similar type idea. So that's number one. Number two, the switching between Yisrael and Yaakov, because we know Yisrael is the name of Kisarisam and Hashem Elokim Batimran. This is the higher name of Yaakov. When they're talking about the Jewish people at when things are going well, or they're tzaddikim, or that kind of thing, the higher level, that's Yisrael. When Yisrael is in a bad state, either a state of sin or galus, then they're called Yaakov. So you have in this pasuk, Eilu Shemos Bnei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayim Yaakov. So what does that mean to tell you? That tells you Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, meaning the Jewish people, Yaakov as Yaakov, meaning it when they're going to Mitzrayim, it's a low state. But it's called Bnei Yisrael because they would eventually come back, they would eventually leave and be Bnei Yisrael. It's a few seconds before, Hashem appears to Yaakov and he tells him to go down to Mitzrayim, and he tells him, Anochi erin b'mecha Mitzrayim ava anochi a'alcha gamalo. I'll send you down to Mitzrayim, but I will bring you up. So Rabbeinu Bechai points out, this Anochi refers to Bizchus HaTorah, right? The Atzeres Sedebra Spring begins with Anochi. So Anochi Alcha Gamalo, it's because the Jewish people would eventually accept the Torah. So it's the Anochi that will bring them out of Mitzrayim. Okay, again, we have the list of the people who went down to Mitzrayim. And interestingly, it has this little surprise, the more Mepharshim don't talk about it. I mean, there are some that talk about it, but not that many. It says, B'nei Yehuda Erva Onan Shela V'Peretz V'Zerach. That the children of Yehuda wore Er, Onan, Shela, Feretz, and Zarach. And then it tells you, by the way, Erva Onan and died, Vayomas Erva Onan, Beretz, Kanan, Vayiyu, Vnei Feretz, Chetzon, V'chamol. Erva Onan died, and the children of Peretz were Chetzon and Chamol. You're trying to tell me the list of the 70. Here are the 70 people who came down to Egypt. And then it tells you two people who did not come down to Egypt. They died in Canaan. So, what was the point of that? Rabbeinu Bechai tells you, it's like he said before, that Yibum, the way Yibum works, is when someone does Yibum, it brings back, it's a Gilgal, the soul of the Nifter comes back as a Gilgal in the child that's produced from the Yibum. So therefore, they did come down to Egypt. Because Erva Onan, there was Yibum, and therefore Erva Onan came back. Now, I had assumed they come back as Zarach and Peretz, that was my assumption from I'm not sure I'm right. Because the Aruch Chaim, I think that is what the Rabbeinu Bechai meant. I don't know for sure. I could tell you the Aruch Chaim on this pasuk says the same thing as Rabbeinu Bechai, but says they came back as Chetzron and Chamul, and that's why the pasuk goes together. Erev Onan died, Vayiyu v'nei Feretz Chetzron and Chamul, as if to say, and they became Chetzron and Chamul. Okay, either way, but that's the point is that they did come down through Yibum, through the being a Gilgal. All right, so we know there are 70 people. However, the Chazal made the cheshbon of how you get to the number 70, but there is 70 plus Yaakov. So Rabbeinu Bechai tells you, obviously, you see this number quite a bit in Judaism. You have Yaakov and his 70 children who come down to Mitzrayim. You have the 70 Zakenim with Moshe on top. Now, the 70 people who came down to Mitzrayim plus Yaakov on top. You have the 70 Zakenim, Moshe on top. You have the Sanhedrin and the Nasi on top. In other words, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had the Sanhedrin, Lishkas HaGazus, there were 70, plus the Nasi on top. You have the original 70 nations of the world, plus Israel. It's always 70 plus 1, and this is not a coincidence. This is because things in this world are a mimic of things in Shemayim. And the Ribbono Shalom Kaviyachal has 70 Malachim surrounding his Kisya Kavod, and then there's Hashem, and that's Hashem Ubeis Dino. So that's the 70 and 1. It's connected that number. All these things are connected that number. Then he says something else fascinating, which I don't fully understand because I'm not a Kabbalist. But there's something with the 71 plus the 600,000, the 70 that became 600,000. There's some Indian in Shemayim of 600,000, which again, I'm not a Kabbalist. You'd have to look up Rabbeinu Bechai yourself if maybe you'll get something more out of it than I did. I understood about the Shishim Rebo. There's something in Shemayim of 600,000. But I guess if you don't think about it much, you may assume, oh, well, there were 600,000 Jews. Therefore, in Shemayim, there's things that are 600,000. No. Rabbeinu Bechai says the other way around. There were 600,000, whatever these things are in Shemayim. I don't know, shameless, but things I don't understand. This is number 600,000 in Shemayim of something. And because of that, the Jewish people had to be 600,000. And they weren't Ra'i L'Kabbalas HaTorah until they numbered 600,000, because it had to be connected to that number. And there's supposed to be 600,000 osias in Torah again. I don't know what that means. But he brings that this is the Hashem made 600,000 different deos in the world, whatever that means. I don't know if it means personalities or different ways of thinking or whatever. I must be general, categorized into 600,000, and therefore if you have all 600,000 Jews being Mekabel, it's a Haskama for everyone. What was most interesting about this is like I said, the order. It wasn't that there were 600,000 Jews and therefore something in Shemayim became 600,000. It was the other way around. The Jews weren't writing the Kabbalah Satorah until they had 600,000, because that's going to get the thing in Shemayim. That was 600,000. And that's why the Shechina wasn't Shura in the second Beis HaMikdash, he says. It wasn't the first Beis HaMikdash, not in the second Beis HaMikdash, because there weren't 600,000, because the Shechinas are only Shorah when there are 600,000. And there was a little bit of Shechinah, there was some Shechinah, like there's the other Pasuk, that there, when there's 2,000, or it sounds like there's 22,000, but Rabbi Mechai says 2,000. There's some kind of Shechinah when there's 2,000, maybe 22,000, but it's different when there's 600,000. Then there was Shechinah Tadira in Bayis Rishon, because, you know, constant Shechinah, because there were 600,000, whereas in Bayis Sheni, only 40,000 people came back, so therefore there wasn't constant Hashras HaShechina. I'm actually recording this on the day of the Siyam HaShah, so at least we'll have some level of Hashras HaShechina with that amount of people that will be there today. And Rabbeinu Bechai ends off that Le'asid Lavo, we were told that you Mispar B'nei Yisrael Kachol Hayam, the Pasuk says that the Mispar B'nei Yisrael will be like the sand of the sea. And he says, Mispar means those that are counted, meaning the 20 through 60 men. Even that number will be Kachal Hayom. Okay, then we have that Yaakov sends Yehuda down to start yeshiva. He sends him Goshna, but he sends him to Yosef. It says, Viz Yehuda Shalach Lefanav El Yosef. So again, it brings a very interesting Medrash Tanchuma. Again, what we talked about, this is all the remes for all the things lost love. Yehuda is sent to Yosef. There are other midrashim about the Shor and the Ari fighting, right? Because that's when we had the Yosef is the Shor, Yehuda is the Ari. The Shor and the Ari are fighting, and here in this midrash, when they make peace, so the midrash says, "Esmal Shor v'Ari menakchen esev achshav holichalav b'shlichus." He had the ox and the lion fighting, and now he's going to the shlichus for him. This is the pasuk that says, "Seiv v'tle yiru ke'echad." The Aryeh Kabakar Yochal Tevin, that the wolf and the sheep will graze together, and the lion, like an ox, will eat straw. So the Zev is the wolf, that's Binyamin. Vitle, that's the sheep, that's the Shvatim. They'll be roa together because they all went down together. The Mitzrayim to be with Yosef, they all got together, and then the Aryeh and the Bakar. The lion and the ox, that's exactly Yehuda and Yosef. They will be together, eating together. Anyway, that's the idea that Lasid Lavo, we will all the Eden come together when they see, like the Ani Yosef story, there's no sin eschinim anymore. Everything works out, and then everybody lives happily ever after. Okay, then we have, the Rabbeinu Bechai mentions that all the brothers were shepherds, and all the leaders of Klal Yisrael were always shepherds. Moshe was a shepherd, and David was a shepherd. And what's so good about being a shepherd? So Rabbeinu Bechai brings two things about the brothers in their time. Meaning, one, that's good. It was an easy and good parnasa. That's for any time that shepherding is in. And specifically with the brothers, they knew they were going to Egypt. Or somebody must have known. Maybe it's Baruch HaKodesh, I don't know. So therefore, and the Mitzrim hated dealing with sheep, because it was their god. So to keep themselves away, that's why it was good for them to be Roim. But in general, he says, the reason why all the leaders of Klal Yisrael were always Roim was because being a shepherd meant, by definition, you were going to be out to pasture, out with the flock. And therefore, you wouldn't be around Bnei Adam in the Yishuv, and it's very easy when you're in business in the city. The Lashon Hara and Sheker and all whatever, Shua Shav, all kinds of affairs that can happen. That's why they prefer to be out in the Yishuv where they could be just thinking about their Baruch Shalom and not come to sin. I'll just bring two other things. Really, it's from the Ramban. We'll end with that. And that is, it says that Ein Mira Latzon, which is a fascinating thing that They said that because of the famine, there was ein mira latzon. The Ramban says, again, Rabbi Bechai brings it, that ein mira latzon, there was mira, there was places for the sheep to eat, but it wasn't for tzon anymore, because the famine was so bad that human beings were eating it. And that's what it means. Again, this is in Perek Mem Zayin Pasuk Gimel. Ein mira latzon, there was no room for the sheep to graze, because the humans were grazing. There was nothing left for the sheep. And then, finally, that he just brings, Rabbeinu Bechai brings us also, that when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, the famine stopped. And then, so it comes out, therefore, that Yosef's dream, didn't, you know, interpretation of the dream might have been false. That wouldn't look good. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains again, this is many other Mepharshim bring this as well, this medrash that as soon as Yaakov died, the famine came back. And that's when the full seven was realized. So it wasn't not true. There was 7 years. It was just temporarily broken by Yaakov, because when the tzaddik is around, it brings bracha v'olam.